Well, a very warm welcome to everyone, and thanks for making the effort to come out tonight for this short time where we're going to be sharing a wee report on our experience of India. We went and visited such a special place, and we met such amazing people, and we were so blessed to meet them and be part of their lives for such a short time. But this place that we're going to tell you about tonight is a place where we experienced God's presence in such a unique way. And it's such a special place, such amazing people. We're just so delighted to be able to share this with you. And one of the major things for us is that we're received and loved by them all, and we want to be able to share that with you. So we want to tell you about a place in India where God is working and the men and women that are being used mightily by God and the various needs of children that God is meeting through this work. And as well as that, we want to tell you about what God is building in this place in India, which is really exciting. So I'm just going to start by reading a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. And it's headed in my Bible, it's Christ's example of humility. And it says, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And you know, this passage of scripture really just sums up our experience with this family that we met and the kids at the orphanage. We were absolutely struck by the humility and the unity of the Christians there on a daily basis. You know, it's everyone's attitude to count others more significant than themselves. And we experience countless selfless acts, and they're always thinking about serving others. And out of their poverty, they give us the very best they have. So we were really touched by them. We'll tell you more about that. So India is where we went to visit. And India is, it's number 7 in the world for the biggest country by landmass, but it's number 1 in the world for population. It's got over 1 billion people in India, and so it's a huge country. We went to visit a small town, and that place is called Ramachandapuram. So we flew into the city called Hyderabad, and that's one of the top 5 major cities in India, and that's got a population of around 11 million people in it. Ramachandapuram, all the way on the east coast here, and that has a population of around about 45,000. So when we flew into Hyderabad, it was just chaos, as you'd imagine. And there we picked up motorbikes, and it was around about 500 kilometer journey to go from Hyderabad to Ramachandapuram. So the plan was to try and attempt it in one day, but we quickly realised that that was unrealistic. So I'll just give you a brief outline of our journey to Ramachandapuram by motorbike. So it turns out there's actually more than one in India, and the boy with the sat-nav started taking us in the wrong direction. So we headed 2 hours in the wrong direction, and it actually turned out to be a blessing because we had to go back the road we came, and when we were about half an hour back outside of Hyderabad, two of the motorbikes broke down that we had. So the hire company came and bailed us out, gave us two new motorbikes, and we were on our way. So after maybe 12 or 13 hours that first day that we were in India, after about 13 hours, we were only half an hour in the correct direction. So yeah, it was a bit of a learning curve, but you know, the people were stopping and helping us, and they were really welcoming. So this is just a wee introduction on who all went on the trip. You'll probably recognise a few faces. Andy Johnson. We've got Danny Johnson. Al, who's with us tonight. Craig Watt. Stuart Rollo. Lewis Harvey. And myself. So yeah, that was the squad of us. So there's seven of us, and this is just a few pictures of a typical journey on the motorbikes, bags falling off and everything. But yeah, great adventure. What I do want to tell you about and introduce you to is this family, the Tulare family. And this is Alex, and he's the one who began Joy Ministries of the Gospel, which is the ministry that the New Life Centre falls under. And he is an amazing man. Alex is such a godly man and God-fearing, and he's given his whole life over to the will of God. He depends on God for absolutely everything, and he's so faithful. And Alex is a great example to us, and he was such an encouragement to us when we were there. And he was just telling us a bit about himself, and he grew up in a Christian family. He got saved when he was 15, and then finishing his studies, he started up his ministry, Joy Ministries of the Gospel, and it was really aimed at taking in underprivileged kids, orphaned kids that had just been left to their own devices, and beginning the New Life Centre. And it's just grown from strength to strength from there. So that's Alex. This is his wife Priscilla. She is an amazing woman. This is Priscilla. She is a mother to many. She's dedicated her life to serving the Lord, but she herself was an orphan from a young age, and she actually grew up in a Hindu household and was put into an orphanage from a young age, but it was a Christian orphanage, and through hearing the gospel and being shown the love of God, she got saved, and she was 15 as well. And when she the charity who ran the Christian orphanage, that was one that Alex had ties with when he was doing his college, and they met together, and in 1999 they started up their own ministry. So that was a lovely story to hear about. Priscilla is on the go around the clock. So there's around about 70-odd kids in the New Life Centre, and she's on the go from first thing in the morning to last thing at night, cooking and cleaning and looking out for the kids, giving them their medicines and everything like that. So she's very hard worker, but she does it with love, and she always does it with a smile on her face. This is Alex and Priscilla's son, their only son, Matthew. Matthew Prince Tulare. He's just not long finished his studies. He was studying in Hyderabad, and he's come back, and he's now committed his future to the New Life Centre. And he took mostly to do with overseeing work on the construction site when we were in India there. So he is a great guy, full of life, full of laughter, and it was a pleasure to get to know him. And this is their daughter, Precious Tulare, and she gets called Shiny. That's her name over there. She's recently come back from studying for 6 years in America. through a sponsorship scheme, and she's really gifted. She can speak different languages, and she does a lot of translating work for the New Life Centre. She also does a lot of Bible teaching with the kids, and she's just really a big sister figure to all of them, all the kids there. She's also committed her her life to serving at the New Life Centre, and she does a lot of work alongside Alex. So it was really quite striking, two young people with so much potential who've given up a future that they probably could have had, and selflessly given themselves to this ministry and committed their time to Alex and Priscilla and the needs of all the kids, because the need is massive there. And they don't have a lot of people to help, but they get by every day, which is amazing. This is a chap called Simeon. We worked with him most days on the building site. He was like running a lot of the jobs and stuff like that. But he's actually a teacher, and he's part of the church there. So he goes to the meeting. He's married. He had a wife. He still got a wife, but but they didn't have any children, and he did say to us when we came home to remember to pray for them and ask that the Lord would bless them with children. So we want to share that we use as well to remember Simeon and his wife and pray for them, because they would love to have children of their own. This is Ratna and Swati. These are two girls that looked after us. They cooked our food, lunch and dinner every day. They did our washing and gave the apartment a wee tidy up every few days. but they were, they're actually two girls who have come through the New Life Centre, and they're a couple of great, happy stories of young ones who have been orphaned and come through the New Life Centre, been saved and baptised, and now following, when they grow up, they can either leave and do their own thing or they can stay. And they've chose to stay and work there. And they're both very talented. Ratna does a lot of, she's like fluent with Braille and stuff like that, so she can write in Braille, and that helps a lot because they've got blind kids there and stuff like that. So they're both very skilled and just lovely people as well. So we just want to share with you Ratna and Swati. So the New Life Centre, I want to tell you about all the different needs that they have. The New Life Centre pretty much is a home for about 70 or so young adults and children, all with different, a range of different abilities, disabilities and needs that are taken care of on a daily basis. But the New Life Centre provides a home and a family for kids who don't have that, who have had that privilege taken off them. And as I've mentioned already, their daily needs are met, every single one of them. And there's kids with a lot of issues there. Usually it's really sad, if a kid is born with a disability, quite often, they'll be tossed out of the house. That's a sad reality for children in India. It's a real problem. But their healthcare needs are met. They're shown acceptance, love and support, which is fundamental for children. And they are given a new life. And really importantly, they're given discipleship and guidance how to tackle life. And that comes from Alex and Priscilla. And they've got a few others working for them there that I haven't mentioned tonight. But that's the New Life family. Now, we got involved with the kids each night after we would be working on the site. We got to, we'd work from 8 till 5 or whatever, sometimes a wee bit later. And then we spent our evenings down at the New Life Centre with the kids and stuff like that. Some days they would come to the building site and help us, but that was always a highlight of the day. Now, some of the, this is just the kids at the New Life Centre, there's some with cognitive disabilities, and they receive a special education. There's kids that are partially sighted and blind, and as I've mentioned before, they get braille training. There's kids with physical limitations. Some of them can get about a bit. Some of them are completely disabled and stuff, but they receive physical therapy. There's hearing impaired and deaf kids, and they get speech therapy. And generally all the orphans there are offered hope and a bright future. So, you know, as you can see, there's a lot of need there, but it's met on a daily basis, and it's such an encouragement, and it's amazing to see. So how we got involved with the kids in the evenings, we taught them some children's choruses. Did they sing any when you were over, Beth? So they're still able to sing them. I'll just give you a wee. So you get the idea there. We got to spend some church meetings with them, which was really good. So some of them, they would just speak in Telugu. Alex would do a bit of Bible teaching and stuff like that. But for large parts of it, Shiny would translate a lot of what was being said and stuff like that. And we also had opportunities to share with them from the Word of God. But we did a wee bit more singing in church with them as well. That doesn't look like it's going to work. But that's okay. It was just take my hand and follow me, which they really enjoyed. So yeah, that was Lewis and Danny sharing a wee thought, and Shiny would translate everything. You know, we would just speak in English a wee bit at a time, and then she would translate it. And that was a really good opportunity. And you know, it was there was just this feeling that, like, you know, nobody was judging you or anything like that, or you were just so loved and accepted there that. All of us, I'm not the most like public speaking person and stuff like that. Danny doesn't feel too confident all the time to get up and speak, but in that place at the New Life Center, there was just no worries or anything like that. It was just a place where you were just so accepted. And yeah, it was a great opportunity for us to just share some thoughts with the kids. Now, you know, this is like one great example of many of a child who's come into the New Life Centre and received new life and has been transformed by it. You know, because the kids that come to the New Life Centre, they come from broken homes. They're deserted by their parents. They're abandoned, unloved, unwanted. They're poverty stricken. They come from dire situations, and a lot of them are really traumatic. And this is the really sad reality for a lot of kids in India, with no hope and no identity. You know, but the transformation of the children when they come to New Life Centre is so evident to see. You know, the kids flourish in a loving and nurturing environment. And they develop skills and talents and use them to bless others, which is so great to see. You know, and the kids are given such purpose at the New Life Centre. They're given their childhoods back, and they're part of something wonderful that God has done, is doing, and continuing to do over in India. And they have a future before them, and they're given an education, and they have a new identity, a new father, and part of one huge family where they're loved. So this is a girl called Mercy, and that photo on the left was taken when Ali was out maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And this was her when we were out there. And this picture just shows you what a lovely young girl she's grown into, just completely flourishing in that environment. At the New Life Centre. And you know, it's only by God's grace that this is the reality for these children at the New Life Centre. And it's the reality of these children through the faith, obedience and selflessness of Alex and his family. You know, and that just reminds me of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And, you know, these kids that are in that orphanage are new creations. And, you know, the joy that we experienced among the children was just so infectious. And they were so happy. They had nothing but material things. Don't bother them. They're not wanting after things like you see kids around here after and make such a fuss about. They had each other, and they had a godly man leading them, which is what they needed. You know, some of the children that we met have come into the New Life Centre, trusted Christ as their saviour, been baptised, and it was amazing to see how God could take what was so broken and something that had no hope and make it all new and so beautiful and stuff like that. So that was a great encouragement for us, seeing these children, seeing the joy and experiencing that with them on a daily basis for a couple of weeks. And with that, I'll pass on to Ali, and he's going to talk more about the building project that we got involved with over there. So I'll just leave that with Ali, and he can pick that up now. There you go, Al.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see you all. As Robin said, I'm going to talk more about the kind of building aspect of our trip. This is the current building that is the New Life Centre. It is spread across three floors. The ground floor is a porch and a kitchen area. The first floor is a main hall, and the top floor has got two small offices, one for Alex's office and the other one is for doing all the braille work. This is the main hall. The main hall is the same room that they use for the church. They meet there every week. It's the same room that they use for the classroom, whether they're doing braille work or whether they're doing classes for the visually impaired. And it is also the same room that they use as the boys' dorm. One thing I wanted just to say was, when we had gone out, we were given a financial gift from somebody, and they said to us, please put this towards something practical that the New Life Centre needed. So we spoke to Alex, and he said that they needed some mattresses. As you can see, they only had a wee blankets to sleep on. So it was nice to be able to come home and say that your kind gift was put towards something practical. So they were pretty happy with those new mattresses. This is the girls' home. This was acquired probably about 2020. It is the ground floor, and the first floor is for where the girls live, and the top floor is where the Tulares currently live. And this is the girls with their new mattresses as well. This is the front porch in the first building. This is where they will sit and they will have all their meal times, whether it's breakfast, lunch and dinner. It's also the same place that when they come home from school, they will do homework, and they will also do they do Bible readings, they do prayer time, they also do a morning study in this front porch as well, so it is well used. This is an aerial photograph of where the current New Life Centre is up at the top right, and the new building site in the bottom. It's about a 10-minute walk, so the children can walk safely from one place to the other. It's on the outskirts of Ramachandapuram, so they don't have to cross any busy roads, so it's quite quiet. This is the floor plan for the construction work. As you can see, the top left is kind of block A, bottom right is block B, and on the left hand side is the church. So block A, top right, is going to be the dorms and the washrooms. Block B at the bottom right will be the classrooms, the kitchen and the main hall. And on the bottom left is the church. Every single building has got three floors, and it is to accommodate between 150 and 200 people. For the church building, the ground floor is for the church. The first floor is for the Tulares living home, and the second floor will be as a guest house, so folk like Beth, if Beth was going out to stay next year or whatever, or other people going to visit, that's where they would hopefully come to stay. And that's how it fits into the plot. This is the site. When we walked on site on the Sunday morning, We couldn't actually believe how big it was. The photos don't really do it justice. It is absolutely huge. And when we walked on site, we had said to Alex that we were happy to join in with any work that they had. It didn't matter what it was, we were happy to do it. But when we came on site, the Indian workers that were there, there was about 30 labourers already on site, and they weren't really too chuffed, it came across, that we were coming on to help. They were actually not very welcoming. They were a bit awkward, and it felt slightly uncomfortable because they clearly didn't want us there at first. But in a way, you can kind of understand their mentality, because in India, construction is a poor job. It's bottom of the caste system. And also, Indians believe that all white men are rich. So they're now beginning to think, why are these rich white boys coming as construction workers to come and work on our site? So you can understand that. And they also think, probably because history might teach them this in their culture, that white men can't work and they're just pen pushers. So we felt that we had a lot to try and break down, and we tried our best. So when we had come on site, Alex had said to us, the first job is to fill this whole foundation with sand. And that was about 500 tons of sand. And everything was shifted with buckets and small shovels. And we made a line, and we just carried all the sand into it. So that took us from the Monday to the Thursday to do that. This is the sand completely filled and ready for a slab being poured. It was hard work. And just as proof, here's a video. If it will... Do I need to click it again for it to play, or does it? That's okay, no problem at all. Well, pretty much we made a chain and we just filled the buckets with sand and passed them along a line to fill the foundations. So that was the Monday to the Thursday. On the Friday and Saturday, we teamed up with the Indian labourers and we helped them pour the concrete slab that we had helped prepare. We had two cement mixers. The Indians, they had their own team, and we had a Scottish team as well. So we were working together to try and pour the slab. Just to kind of put it in perspective, the size was about 45 metres long, 20 metres wide, and about 6 inches deep. If we were doing that over here in Scotland, we would usually get a lorry in. Actually, we would end up getting 17 lorries in, because the cubic metre is about 135. So we would use 17 lorries and just get it pumped in. Here, everything was mixed just by hardcore sand and carried in place. So that was a really hard shift. We were pretty beat by the end of the second day, but it was really rewarding seeing that finally they had a completed foundation to then start building upwards. We had a day off on the Sunday, and then from Monday to Friday, we started bricklaying. Again with the Indian labourers. The standard of everything is completely different over there, but especially the standard of bricks and bricklaying. So the bricks themselves, they are very irregular size, shape. The bricks are really light, they're quite sandy, and also they use dry mortar, which was quite different for us to kind of get used to. They use a technique where they would just lay a bed of mortar, sit the bricks on top, and then they would just slap the mortar on the sides because they're going to render it later on. So we had Simeon, who kept us right with all their practices, and we just did as we were told. Just want to say the Indian workers are absolutely solid. They are really hard workers. They've got necks like tree trunks. They can carry bricks on their head all day. They can carry 50 kilos of sand or stone on their head, and our chicken necks would not be able to cope with it. So we didn't carry them on our heads. We found different methods for shifting about all this different material. Here's a wee plug, MS Johnson, Johnson Construction, doing some brickwork. So that was good getting that. And it was nice seeing the walls going up, and here are some completion photos, some window openings being made. Those are concrete columns with Alex waving at the front, and It's a bit dark, but with the shadows, you can see the block work that was built up, probably about 1.5 to 2 meters high. So it was really rewarding seeing all that work done by the end of the week. I just wanted to point out some other people that Robin had mentioned in his bit. On the left is Simeon. Simeon was our team leader for the 2 weeks that we were there. He was such a great guy to be about. He always had a smile on his face. He was full of the joy of the Lord, and he was just really great company. He was quite inspirational. Everything was, you know, given to, you know, glory was given to God for everything, whether it was his strength or his ability to keep going, or even just whether it was his joy. It was really great to be around. And on the right hand side, these are all, except for the guy at the back, but these are all kids that have come through the New Life Centre as well, who have grown up, and they are now helping with the construction site too. So we've got VJ, Woomsey, Prudry, Luca, and Sammy and Nanny at the back as well. So it was nice. We were quite restricted with the language barrier, but it was nice being able to try and communicate with them and get to know them over the 2 weeks that we were working with them. I had made a wee joke one of the nights that we were there with the girls after doing some singing. I was asked to say something, and I had asked the question, are the girls in the New Life Centre a little bit lazy, because we've not seen any of them on the construction site yet? And they were so excited. After school the next day, they came on the site with us. They took their wee scarves off, they made them into wee aprons, and they helped us work from after school till about 6 o'clock. And they were really hard workers. It was absolutely brilliant. And it was really fun having them alongside. On the Friday afternoon, the final Friday, at 11:30, we had the opportunity to share the gospel with the workers there. And it was Lewis that took the responsibility. And he shared with them 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says this, for there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And the reason that Lewis had shared this verse with them was because over here in Scotland, we kind of have an idea or a problem, which is that people believe they can have their own version of God. You ask them, do you believe in God? And they're like, yes, I believe in God, but it's my own version. And, I believe that, you know, God will just look on me kindly, and if I'm a good person, I'll be fine. And we know that this is not what the Bible teaches. So over here, people believe that they have their own version of God. But in India, and especially in the Hindu culture, they believe in multiple gods. They start off with a base of 3, which then comes down a pyramid system down to 33 different gods, and then from then it expands even more. And there's a lot of confusion, and also one of the confusing things with Hinduism is that because they've got so many gods, they believe that Jesus can just jump on the bandwagon too, which we obviously don't believe that. So that is why Lewis had shared with them about there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. And Lewis encouraged them to not just believe what and accept what their fathers had taught them and their forefathers, but to discover Jesus for themselves. And that is also the message that we want to share with people who we are working with or friends with. You know, discover Jesus for yourself. Don't just rely on what you've been taught by your parents. And it was, it was quite interesting afterwards, because that evening, Alex always came and had dinner with us, which was lovely. But Alex was saying to us that we wouldn't have actually been able to either have a platform, they wouldn't have listened to us had we not drawn alongside them for the 2 weeks. So I came away thinking about that quite a lot, and it's actually quite an important thing for us to try and draw alongside those who we are working with, or those who we're friends with, or people we bump into, or just whatever groups we go to, whether it's a kid's creche or anything like that. You know, try and draw alongside people and share the love that Jesus has put into our hearts, and to help them to think about God. So that was quite interesting. We also decided to give them a couple of gifts while we were leaving. So we had noticed they'd been eyeing up our gloves for the past 2 weeks. So we went down to the builders merchants and we had got everyone a set of gloves. And we also got them a wee packet of sweeties so they could take home to their families as well. At the start, when we arrived, they were unwelcoming, they were not very friendly, and they were quite awkward. But by the end, we were having cups of chai together, which was always a nice wee... I had a couple of cups of chai, which was nice. And we were getting plenty of photos. I had to get a snap of this boy in the middle because he was the only person in our whole trip that I met that was the same height as me. So everyone else is really small. So it was really good fun, you know, getting to know everyone, communicating, miming, all that kind of stuff. It was good. We thought this guy looked like Derek Kent, so we got a snap with him as well. But when we shared that at Bridge of Weir, nobody could see it, so it was a bit awkward. But I think I got a couple of pity laughs. But so that was good. But it was nice just kind of reflecting on the transformation of our relationship, and it was nice at the end. I've just slipped in a couple of pictures of an update of where they are just now. This is the church building with the ground floor has been laid, and that staircase goes up to the first floor. So that's that photo. This is block B. As you can see, it's really big. And this is block A. So they're still a long way off, but they've started rendering, which is a nice place to in the build to come to. And hopefully progress will continue really well. The last bit of our work out there was Stuart Rollo. Stuart was really valuable out there. And he put his skills to good use, and he could provide something that none of us could do. Stuart's not a builder, but he's really, really great at doing his graphics and everything that he does in a laptop. So when he was coming to the New Life Centre, he noticed that they didn't have, you know, a logo or attractive banner or anything like that. So he asked them, would you like me to design something for you? So this is a new logo that... that Stuart helped design for the New Life Centre. He also did multiple things. He did the logo, he made banners, he made a prayer card, which is this one here. We've got a pile with us, and we'd encourage you, please take one away with you just so you can have in the house. And just even if you were just to have a look through it, it would mean a lot to them, and if you could pray for them, it would mean even more. But Stuart had made these prayer cards and got them printed off. I think there's a version of them for over. Is it right? Is there a version? Is it in Telugu?
Yeah.
So there's a Telugu version for over there, and then we've obviously got the English version. So that's the prayer card. And the thing that I really like that Stuart made was this here, which is an ebook of children's profiles. So he did a lot of collaboration with Shiny, with the translation work and sending photos and all the rest of it. And he's made up an ebook where you can go online and see all the profiles of the different children, and it will tell you a wee bit about their history. It'll tell you about their name, where they come from, how they came to the New Life Centre. It will tell you whether they have maybe a physical disability or a mental disability. It will tell you if they're an orphan or a semi-orphan. There's lots of different kind of complex reasons why children come into the ministry. But these are a couple of different photos of some of the children and the leaders there as well. So that's the prayer card. And there's a QR code if you just want to scan it with your phone at the end. So just in conclusion, we've spoken about our trip. And, you know, for us sharing about our trip, you know, it's been really exciting. We've really enjoyed it. But what we really want to highlight is the New Life Centre and the work that they are doing just now. And also to highlight their need. because we went over there to bless him with our hands and what we could provide. But we came home feeling really encouraged, and we also came home with a burden to not just to share our story, but to share their story. The construction work is still ongoing. It will be ongoing for probably, I would suspect, maybe another year, maybe not quite as long as that. It would just need to see how it goes. But with the guidance from government, the builder, the engineer, they've stated that the children cannot move in to the New Life Centre until all of the slab work has been completed, because it would be unsafe for them. So the original funding that was provided from an American sponsor, just for completing the first floor and for the children to move in, has had to be redirected to completing all of the slab work. So they're in a place just now where they have funds for completing the slab work, but not funds for doing as many furnishings as what I think that they had hoped. So please pray for the construction work. It does sound a lot of money, but I'll just share it with you anyway. The total cost of the project is £800,000. Over here, something like that would be millions. So there is a difference there. But they're currently just over halfway there with their funding. And I'm not pushing anything forward. All I'm asking for is if people could pray, because we know that our God cares about all these things, and God has already provided half the funds anyway. So if we continue to pray for them, who knows what God can provide? And if it's in His will, we know that by whatever means, God will help it come to pass. So there's a couple of prayer points. Pray for all those who are associated with the New Life Centre. Please pray for the children. And please pray for the Tulare family, because they've got a lot of responsibility, and they're looking to God for help and guidance in all aspects of their life. So if you could pray for them, that would be amazing. And that's be finished. So there's a QR code. I'll just leave it up there, QR code, if you want to scan it, and you can take a wee look for yourselves. Thank you.